Greetings. Welcome to another episode. This week we have a little something to everything. So, what should we go with first? Let's go with something a little calm first. We're going to talk about advancements in CRISPR.
Advancements in CRISPR, a potential aid to Down syndrome. What is Down syndrome? Down syndrome is a genetic condition caused by the presence of an extra copy of chromosome 21, a phenomenon known as trisomy 21. Instead of the usual two copies, individuals with Down syndrome have three. This extra genetic material disrupts normal development and leads to a range of physical and cognitive differences. People with Down syndrome often exhibit certain physical traits, such as a flat facial profile, upward slanting eyes, a single deep crease across the palm, and low muscle tone. Developmentally, they may experience mild to moderate intellectual disability, delayed speech and motor skills, and a higher risk of health issues like congenital heart defects, respiratory problems, and early onset Alzheimer's disease. Despite these challenges, many individuals lead fulfilling lives, attend school, work, and participate actively in their communities. What is CRISPR and how does it work with Down syndrome? CRISPR, clustered regularly interspaced short palindromic repeats, is a revolutionary gene editing tool that allows scientists to precisely cut and modify DNA. It uses a protein called Cas9, guided by a custom RNA sequence, to locate and snip specific parts of the genome. In the context of Down syndrome, researchers in Japan recently used a technique called allele-specific editing to target and remove the extra chromosome 21 from lab-grown cells taken from individuals with the condition. This is the first time scientists have successfully removed the surplus chromosome responsible for Down syndrome. After editing, the cells showed normalized gene expression, improved survival, and restored protein production patterns. Even mature skin cells, which don't usually divide, responded positively to the treatment. Implications of this breakthrough. This research is still in its early stages and far from clinical application. However, the implications are profound. If scientists can safely and effectively remove the extra chromosome in living tissues, it could potentially reduce or even reverse some of the cellular dysfunctions associated with Down syndrome. That said, this raises ethical questions. Many in the Down syndrome community emphasize that the condition is not something to be cured, but rather a part of human diversity. There are also technical hurdles. Not all cells divide, and CRISPR's effectiveness in non-dividing cells is still being explored. Moreover, editing every cell in a person's body is currently impossible. So any future therapy would likely be limited to specific tissues or developmental stages. Cost and accessibility. As of now, this CRISPR-based approach is purely experimental and not available as a treatment. If it ever reaches clinical use, the cost could be substantial. Gene therapies today often run into hundreds of thousands of dollars. Accessibility would depend on regulatory approval, insurance coverage, and public health policy. It's likely that such a treatment would initially be available only in specialized research hospitals or through clinical trials. Still, this research opens a new frontier in understanding and potentially addressing chromosomal disorders. Whether it leads to a therapy or simply deepens our knowledge of human genetics, it's a remarkable step forward.
Always good to have good news. Okay, so let's go to, they call it Western exceptionalism. Yeah, that. Here we go.
Those Westerners again. In April 2025, a couple visiting the Palazzo Maffei Museum in Verona, Italy, caused significant damage to a delicate artwork known as the Van Gogh chair. This sculpture, created by artist Nicola Balla, was a modern homage to Vincent Van Gogh's iconic 1888 painting of a simple wooden chair. Balla's version was encrusted with hundreds of Swarovski crystals and placed on a pedestal with clear signage instructing visitors not to touch or sit on it. Despite these warnings, the couple attempted to take a photo with the chair. The man sat on it while the woman took a picture, and the chair collapsed under his weight. Rather than alerting museum staff, the pair quickly fled the scene. Surveillance footage captured the entire incident, and the museum later released the video to raise awareness about respecting art and cultural spaces. Fortunately, the chair was eventually restored, but the damage, both physical and symbolic, was already done. This incident is not isolated. It reflects a broader pattern of behavior often associated with modern tourism, particularly among Western travelers. From climbing sacred monuments for selfies to carving names into ancient ruins, there's a troubling trend of treating cultural heritage as a backdrop for personal entertainment rather than as something to be honored and preserved. Historically, Western travelers have often approached other cultures with a sense of entitlement. During the colonial era, European powers looted artifacts, desecrated sacred sites, and imposed their values on indigenous populations. Museums across Europe are filled with objects taken from Africa, Asia, and the Americas, many of which were acquired through force or deception. This legacy of cultural disregard has echoes in today's tourism, where the desire for a perfect photo or viral moment can override basic respect. Modern examples abound. Tourists climbing the pyramids in Egypt despite strict prohibitions, defacing ancient temples in Cambodia, or damaging coral reefs while snorkeling in protected marine areas. These actions may seem trivial in the moment, but they contribute to the erosion of cultural and natural heritage. Respectful tourism means approaching new places with humility and awareness. It looks like reading and following posted signs, asking permission before taking photos, dressing appropriately for religious or cultural sites, and learning a few words of the local language as a gesture of goodwill. It means understanding that you are a guest, not a consumer entitled to every experience. It also involves recognizing that not everything is meant to be touched, climbed, or captured on camera. Sometimes, the most meaningful experiences come from quiet observation and reflection rather than performance. As global travel becomes more accessible, the responsibility to travel ethically grows. Cultural sites are not theme parks. They are living testaments to human history, identity, and creativity. Treating them with care is not just about avoiding damage. It's about honoring the people and stories they represent.
Well, not much more needs to be said about that. Know that behavior. That's why we have to celebrate things like Juneteenth and stuff. Okay, well, on to things attacking you. We have some fungal attack.
Attack of the fungus. The fungus making headlines is Aspergillus fumigatus, part of a broad class of molds known as Aspergillus. Found worldwide in soil, decaying plant matter and compost heaps, it's typically harmless to healthy individuals, but under certain conditions, it can become a serious threat. How it infects. Aspergillus fumigatus spreads via microscopic spores that float through the air. Most people breathe in these spores every day without issue. However, in people with weakened immune systems, like those undergoing chemotherapy or organ transplants, or individuals with chronic lung issues, these spores can settle in the lungs and grow. This growth can cause a condition known as aspergillosis. In its most dangerous form, invasive aspergillosis, the fungus invades lung tissue and can travel through the bloodstream to other organs, where it begins to destroy tissue and blood vessels. What it looks like, visually. Colonies of Aspergillus in the environment might appear as fuzzy mold with green or gray coloring. Under a microscope, it consists of thread-like structures called hyphae, which grow into tangled mats and release more spores into the air. How it's identified? Spotting this fungus in the environment isn't easy, as it looks like many other molds. In clinical settings, doctors rely on chest imaging, blood work, and sometimes biopsies to confirm infection. One of the challenges is that early symptoms, like a persistent cough or shortness of breath, resemble other respiratory illnesses, making early detection difficult. Interesting facts. Aspergillus fumigatus can survive extreme heat and low oxygen, traits that allow it to persist in tough environments. It's becoming resistant to antifungal medications, particularly azoles. These are used both medically and in agriculture, which may be accelerating resistance, similar to antibiotic resistance in bacteria. The fungus thrives in warm, humid conditions, meaning climate change is helping it spread to new parts of the world. The World Health Organization has classified it as a high-priority fungal pathogen due to the difficulty of treatment and its increasing resistance to drugs. How humans are affected. Besides lung infections, the fungus can spread to the sinuses, brain, and bloodstream. Those recovering from flu or COVID-19 may also be vulnerable, as their immune systems are compromised. Invasive aspergillosis has a high mortality rate, even with treatment. Recommendations include avoiding construction zones, using N95 masks in dusty environments, and staying away from decaying plant material, especially for those who are immunocompromised. The rise of fungi like this serves as a reminder that microscopic organisms can have serious consequences, especially as ecosystems and climate shift.
Okay, well, we can definitely use some beings that are nice to humans. So here, how about some herbal deterrents?
Let's take a flavorful stroll through your spice rack and see how some common kitchen herbs and spices can double as powerful allies in the garden. Cinnamon is a standout. It contains cinnamaldehyde, a compound that disrupts insect nervous systems, making it difficult for pests like ants, aphids, fungus gnats, and even rodents to function. Sprinkling cinnamon around plants creates a barrier that irritates the mucous membranes of small animals and insects. It also acts as a natural fungicide, helping to prevent mold, mildew, and damping off disease in seedlings. Plus, it can stimulate root growth when used as a rooting hormone on cuttings. Garlic is another powerhouse. Its strong sulfur compounds repel a wide range of pests, including aphids, beetles, and caterpillars. You can make a garlic spray by blending cloves with water and a bit of soap, then applying it to leaves. Garlic also has antifungal and antibacterial properties, making it useful for preventing plant diseases. Chili powder or cayenne pepper works by irritating pests like squirrels, rabbits, and insects. A sprinkle around the base of plants or a diluted spray can keep unwanted visitors at bay. Just be cautious when applying. What Dieter's pests can also irritate your skin or eyes. Turmeric, known for its anti-inflammatory properties in cooking, also has antifungal benefits in the garden. It can help prevent root rot and fungal infections when sprinkled in the soil or used in a paste on plant wounds. Basil isn't just for pesto. It repels mosquitoes, flies, and thrips. Planting basil near tomatoes is a classic companion planting strategy, as it enhances tomato flavor and Dieter's pests. Crushed basil leaves can also be rubbed on the skin as a natural insect repellent. Mint is another aromatic herb that repels ants, aphids, cabbage moths, and even mice. However, it spreads aggressively, so it's best grown in containers. Its essential oils can be used in sprays to protect plants or deter pests from entering garden beds. Rosemary is excellent for repelling cabbage moths, carrot flies, and mosquitoes. It thrives in hot, dry climates and can be used fresh or dried. A rosemary-infused spray can help protect delicate plants from insect damage. Bay leaves, often used in soups and stews, can deter weevils and moths in stored grains. But in the garden, crushed bay leaves sprinkled around plants can help repel flies and ants. Thyme is a low-growing herb that repels white flies, cabbage loopers, and corn earworms. It's also a great ground cover that helps suppress weeds and retain soil moisture. These herbs and spices are not only natural and eco-friendly, but they also add a sensory layer to your garden, fragrance, color, and even pollinator appeal. Many of them are safe for pets and children when used properly, and they reduce the need for synthetic pesticides or fertilizers.
Okay, my people. It's always a pleasure spending some time with y'all. I appreciate the love. And until next time, when we meet at the crossroads, peace.